नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरते। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भक्तिर्भव भगवतीर्भक्ति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैस्तुकी भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैस्तुकी। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो फिफ्थ चैप्टर नंबर 15 एंड वर्स 8 टुडे। श्लोक इज लाइक दिस। तस्य माम गाताम पांडवेया पुरा विदौ उपगायन्ति। तस्य माम गाताम पांडवेया पुरा विदौपगायन्ति। तस्य माम गाताम पांडवेया पुरा विदौपगायन्ति। So meaning of the words tasya of King Gaya, imam, these gatam, poetic verses of glorification, pandaveya, O Maharaj Parikshit, pura vidha, those learned in the historical events of the Puranas, Upagayanti, sing. Translation: my dear King Parikshita, those who are learned scholars in the histories of the Puranas eulogize and glorify King Gaya with following verses. The purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The historical references to exalted kings serve as a good example for present rulers. Those who are ruling the world at the present moment should take lessons from King Gaya. King Yudhishthira and King Prithu and the rule the citizens so that they will be happy. Presently the governments are levying taxes without imposing the citizens in any cultural, religious, social or political way. According to Vedas, this is not recommended. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Vadarsimati Bhakti Varan Swami Niti Namini Namaste Sarasadeva Gauravan Pachandi Shushmanyad Pachandi. Om Adnya
జ్ఞానతిమిరందశ జ్ఞానాంజన చలాకయ చక్షురుం మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురువే నమః. జై శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తురంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరి, హరే రామ్ రామ్ రామ్. హరే కృష్ణ. ఐ సిన్సియర్లీ వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ ద డివోటీస్ హియర్. In fact, I have no qualification to sit here and explain something about Bhagavatam. But this is the mercy of Vrajahari Prabhu and Asim Krishna Prabhu. They have asked me to speak something on this verse today. So this verse talks about King Gaya. King Gaya in Bhagavatam, he is said to be Mahapurusha. And Srila Prabhupadaji has referred other kings like Prithu Maharaj in this purport. Now, for any king to be successful in this world, there are four necessities. And these necessities can be called as MOVE, M-O-V-E. So M stands for morality. The king has to be moral first. The king needs to have an opulence. O stands for opulence. And V stand for victory. And E stand for extraordinary power. So any king to be successful, he needs all of this. And if he misses any of this, he cannot be successful. A king cannot be successful without a moral. King cannot be successful without opulence. King cannot be successful without victory. And king cannot be successful without extraordinary power. So in order to administer, he needs to have an extraordinary power. So the last verse in Bhagavad Gita, as we know, Sanjaya concludes Bhagavad Gita, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara, Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhuti Dhruva Nitir Mati Mamaha. So he says, wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mysticism, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. So he says, the Bhagavad Gita concludes, if anybody to be successful in his life, there has to be Krishna in the life. So if you make Krishna at the center of our life will be successful. Srila Prabhupadaji explains in all the purports how to make Krishna at the center of our life. And more so for the kings. The king is required to support and protect all the citizens. The king of any country is representative of Krishna, representative of God. And his duty is to support the citizens, build morality in the citizens, and provide food and shelter to the citizens, keep them happy. So this is a very, very big responsibility. And in any country we have seen, there may be kings which are very famous, but those kings who have taken the shelter of lotus feet of Krishna, they are not famous, they are glorious. So there is difference between famous and glorious. There can be people who may be famous, but those who have taken the shelter of lotus feet of Krishna, they become glorious. So in the history we have many examples. Those kings who were very powerful, were very opulent, they may be famous. But some of the kings in India, they are more glorious, because they have taken the shelter of lotus feet of Krishna. Now, we have many examples. In India, India is glorious in the entire universe because it had the great kings who had taken the shelter of lotus feet of Krishna. And this is the reason why they were able to protect the citizens, keep everybody happy. Lord Rama came as a king and he ruled
this universe with morality, and he protected people. So even today we call the Ram Rajya, the place where everybody is happy. So also in Orissa and eastern part of our India, we have seen there were so many kings. Particularly, they had taken shelter of Bhagwan Jagannath. So there is one very beautiful story of King Purushottama Dev. So King Purushottama Dev was an exalted devotee of Lord Jagannath. He was having all the opulence, was victorious king, was having extraordinary power. So this Purushottama king once went to South India on a tour. The place called Kanchi in South India. He went to Kanchi, and there was also a South Indian king. And he put up a tent in Kanchi, a beautiful garden, and he was staying there. And by providence, he met a princess of that Kanchi city. The name of the princess was Padmavati. So Padmavati was also very beautiful. So the king and the princess became attracted to each other. And you know, the king of Kanchi invited Purushottama Deva in his palace, and he proposed his daughter to him. So Purushottama Deva was very, very happy, and he said, I will return back to Jagannath Puri and I will invite you for this marriage ceremony. So he went back and he invited the people from the Kanchi. So the minister of Kanchi and some people came to Jagannath Puri to propose the daughter, you know, the priest marriage ceremony. And everybody was very happy. The king was a great king. So after completing the formalities, the minister was returning to Kanchi. But Purushottama Deva requested that, why don't you wait for some time? We have a very beautiful festival, Jagannath Rath Yatra. You can also participate, and then you can, you know, go back to Kanchi. Then the minister agreed, okay, all right, we will stay back for some time. So they stayed there, and the Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra was about to begin. Jai Sri Radha Ras Bihari Ji Ki Jai. So the Rath Yatra was to begin, and when the Rath Yatra started, the king went with a golden broom and he started sweeping in front of the chariot, Jagannath Ratha. And this scene was very strange for the minister of the Kanchi. He could not believe. He said, oh, this is a king and he is doing a menial servant's job. This job is done by chandalas. And how can be a king do this job? So he could not understand the devotion of the Purushottama Deva king. And he said, he goes back with confusion and he tells the king of Kanchi that, you know, this king is not a king, he is a chandala. He sweeps the road. How can we give our daughter to such a chandala? And the king also, you know, influenced by this minister, and he said, okay, all right, we don't give our daughter to chandala. So they sent a message to the king of Orissa saying that, you know, we don't want to give our daughter to a chandala. So this Purushottama Deva was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath, and he was terribly upset, you know. And then he said, he prayed Lord Jagannath, Lord Jagannath, whatever you wish, but how can this happen? And at the same time, the king of Kanchi arranged a swayamvara for Padmavati. And he invited many kings. for this Swayamvara ceremony, but accept this Purushottam Dev king. And King Purushottam Dev was very, very upset. He felt greatly insulted. And a sense of revenge, you know, started sprouting in his heart. He said, I must go there and give a challenge to this king and Padmavati. So he goes to Kanchi again and he invites, challenges this king. You know, you fight with me. And the king of Kanchi said, all right, we will fight, but there is a condition. The king of Kanchi was a devotee of Ganesha. He was having a big Ganesha deity and he used to worship every day. And he said, in this war, in this fight, if you lose, you have to send your Jagannatha deity to Kanchi, and your Jagannatha deity will be sitting behind my Ganesha. But if I lose, I will give my Ganesha to your place. The Purushottama Deva said, how can it happen? But okay, he is putting a challenge, he agreed. Okay, alright. And then on a decided date, Purushottama Deva with all might went to attack Kanchi. And when he went there, he put up a tent, and when the war was to begin, by providence, his tent got blazing fire. I know it got fire, and the king got defeated and he has to run back to Orissa. This was again a great insult to Purushottama Deva. And he came very sincerely and humbly, prayed Lord Jagannatha, my dear Lord, this is not an insult to me, it's in fact insult to you. If I got defeated in this war, I will have to send you to Kanchi and you have to sit behind Ganesha. How can this happen? So he was praying Lord Jagannatha. So, and he was crying. On that day, in his dream, Lord Jagannatha came and he said, my dear Purushottama Deva, you don't have to worry this time. Now I will come and personally fight for you. So this is the promise Lord Jagannatha gave him. And next day morning, Purushottama Deva got up with lot of strength and inspiration. And then he again went to challenge King of Kanchi, and he went with all the force. Now this time, before the Purushottama Dev reaches to Kanchi, on the way, there's a very beautiful Leela that Lord Jagannatha has played. So Lord Jagannatha was riding a black horse. He was sitting on the black horse. And Lord Baladeva was sitting on the white horse. They both were disguised as soldiers of Purushottama Deva. And on the way, they were feeling very thirsty. And there was one lady who was selling buttermilk. Her name was Manika. Manika was selling the buttermilk. And these both soldiers go near to her and ask, give her buttermilk. And she was very happy because these are the customers here. And she gave buttermilk to Jagannath and Baldev, who were disguised as the soldiers. They drank buttermilk and, you know, they started moving. But Manika said, oh, give me my money. This is my subsistence. You know, if I don't get the money, it is very difficult for me to get food for me every day. So Jagannatha Baldev said, we don't have money. The soldiers said, we don't have money. Now actually we are the soldiers of King Purushottama Dev. So you please take money from this Purushottama Dev. King is coming on this way, so you can take money from him. Said, how can I recognize and how can he believe me? So I cannot ask money from him. You give me money. Then Lord Jagannatha removes, there was a ring in his hand, so he removes a golden ring which was studded with a diamond, and he gave it to Manika. Said, you take this and show this ring to Purushottama king and he will give your money. Manika said, all right, and he was waiting on the way. And after some time, King Purushottama Dev was coming with all that soldiers to attack on Kanchi. And this lady Manika stopped King Purushottama Dev and told King Purushottama Dev, look, my dear king, there were two soldiers who drank my buttermilk and they did not give me money. In return, they gave me this ring to show you so that I can collect money from you. And Purushottama Dev saw that ring, he was astonished, because this is the same golden diamond studded ring that he had offered to Lord Jagannatha. And he said, how this came to you? And he said, there were two soldiers. One was riding a black horse, and the other was riding a white horse. And they drank buttermilk from, taking from me. Then Purushottama king was very, very happy. This must be Lord Jagannath and Baldev, as he has promised. So he became very happy. And he said, okay, I will give your money. So he gave many villages to Manika, you know, as so that he can peacefully, happily live in this place. So even today, that place is very glorious and famous. In Orissa, there is a place called Manika village, on her name, this city which is given by this king to this Manika. And then this Jagannath Baldev, who were disguised as a soldier, went to Kanchi. And before this king came to that place, they started fighting with the soldiers of Kanchi, and they completely defeated them. And when the Purushottama king came there, by that time the king was defeated. And you know, and then he prayed Lord Jagannath, oh my dear Lord, you are so glorious, you are so great, you are Achyuta. You know, you will never fail to fulfill the promise. So that's why Lord Krishna is one of the name of Lord Krishna is Achyuta. And then king went to Kanchi palace, and he arrested Padmavati. He did not arrest the king, he arrested the Padmavati. And he said, this Padmavati should be given to a Chandala. You know, he should be married to Chandala. And he told his minister, you take this Padmavati back to Orissa and marry her to a Chandala. So actually Padmavati was very sincere. And in fact, she knew that King of Kanchi is doing all this, you know, against her wish. She actually wanted to marry with Purushottama Deva, but she could not help. And this Purushottama Deva, the King Purushottama, brought Padmavati to Orissa and told the minister said, okay, King, the Purushottama Deva, you don't have to worry. Let Padmavati be with in my house till the time we get a suitable husband for her. And for some time Padmavati was staying with the minister. And as usual, every year there was a Rath Yatra, Jagannath Rath Yatra. And the King Purushottama, as usual, he came with a golden broom and he was sweeping in front of Lord Jagannatha. So at that time in the morning, this minister was very intelligent. He said, Padmavati, look, my dear princess, we want to marry you today to one of the Chandala, so you be ready. So all the ladies in their house, they decorated her with ornaments and, you know, like a groom. And the minister took Padmavati in front of Lord Jagannatha. Padmavati was profusely crying, oh my Lord, what is this? I have to get married to a Chandala. What will be my life? So she was very in a pathetic condition. Then he the minister told Padmavati, you don't worry, you just pray Lord Jagannatha. And she prayed Lord Jagannatha. And this minister brought Padmavati in front of Jagannatha and hold the hand of Purushottama king, and he said, as you have said, I am going to marry this Padmavati to a Chandala, who is a street sweeper. There can never be, there is no better Chandala than you, because you are a sweeping. So he marries Padmavati to Purushottama Deva. Purushottama Deva understood the intelligence of, you know, the minister, and in fact he also liked Padmavati, and this is how they got married. So after this, actually the king of Kanchi got defeated, and he sent his deity as promised, you know, as the condition, the Ganesha deity to Jagannath Puri. So even today if we go to Jagannath Puri, there is a Ganesha idol behind Lord Jagannatha. Actually this idol has come from Kanchi. And also there was one more deity, Sri Radha Radhakant. This deity was also brought from Kanchi, and it is actually installed in Gambira, the temple there. So this is how Lord, you know, interacts with his devotees. Now this king, Purushottama Deva, has become a glorious king, and he has built many temples. And for a king to be successful, there are four duties of a king, which is explained in Bhagavatam. So these four duties are called as Poshana, Prinana, Upalalana, and Anushasana. Poshana means the king is supposed to give adequate food and shelter to the citizens. Poshana, this is the responsibility of king. Then Prinana means the king is supposed to talk good word, the king is supposed to give gifts to the citizens and keep them happy. This is also one of the responsibility of a king. Then Upalalana, this is the king has to talk sweet words, kind words, interact with the citizens with the kind words, so that keep these citizens happy by speaking good about them. This is also one of the responsibility of a king. Then Anushasana. Anushasana means administration. If somebody commits an offense, he must be proportionately punished, so that there will be law and order in the city. So Srila Prabhupada ji explains, if any king wants to be glorious and any king wants to keep all the citizens happy, he must take to the shelter of lotus feet of Lord Krishna. This is then only possible. Otherwise, any king who is having all the opulence, not having the Krishna at the center, there cannot be moral, there cannot be an opulence, and there cannot be victory. So there is a very beautiful prayer by Queen Kunti in this Bhagavatam. So Queen Kunti prays Lord Krishna. I just would like to recite this beautiful prayer. This is 1.8.39 Bhagavatam. Niyam shobishate tatra yathe danim gadadhara. Niyam shobishate tatra yathe danim gadadhara. Svattadairankita bhati svalakshana vilakshitai. Svalakshana vilakshitai. So Queen Kunti says, O Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. So when Lord Krishna was leaving to Dwarka, Queen Kunti is praying, My Lord Krishna, our kingdom looks beautiful because of the impression of your lotus feet. So Lord's feet are very, very auspicious. Lord's feet, Krishna's feet contains about 16 different auspicious symbols, and one of the symbol is swastika. So this swastika is a symbol of auspiciousness. And Queen Kunti says, Ime janapada shraddha supakaushadi virudha vanadrinadi udanvantohi edanti tava vikshitai. All these cities, villages are flourishing in all respects because the herbs, grains are in abundance. The trees are full of fruits, the rivers are flowing, the hills are full of minerals, and the oceans full of wealth. And this is all due to your glancing over them. So Queen Kunti say, just by your beautiful glance on these cities, on this mountain, on this herb, they are opulent. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, in Queen Kunti's prayers, that devotees, when we come to take darshana of Lord Sri Radha Rasbihari, Radha Krishna, the glancing of Radha Krishna makes the devotee's life auspicious. So this is the reason why when we take darshana in the morning, the day becomes very, very auspicious. So for the kings to be successful, if they depend on Lord Krishna's mercy, they become glorious. So there are so many other kings to name. So similarly in Orissa, King Lakshmana Sena. In Karnataka there were, in India if you cut across all the states, there were kings who were glorious because they have taken the shelter of Lord Krishna. King Lakshmana Sena, King Pratap Rudra, kings of Jaipur. Similarly, there is a very short story of King of Jaipur. Once there was a King of Jaipur, he was worshipping Krishna, and you know his duties was every day till 10 o'clock in the morning, he will not open the doors unless he worship and satisfies Krishna, and then only he goes back to his duties. One day, a Muslim king attacks Jaipur. And at that time, the minister and the soldiers came running to this king and told, My dear king, there is an attack by this Muslim king, so let's go and fight. But this king of Jaipur, he said, I cannot come because I am worshipping Krishna. We will go back after 10 o'clock. So by that time, it is actually a true story that there came a soldier on a black horse, and he fought with this Muslim king and he got defeated. And by 10 o'clock, this king of Jaipur opened the door and he said, let's go and fight. So by that time actually somebody has come and defeated. And this was nobody else but this was Krishna. So this is the Bhakta Vatsala, Krishna. Now, in this verse, the qualities of King Gaya are explained. The King Gaya in this Bhagavatam is explained, he was called as the Mahapurusha. He was having great qualities. And some of these qualities here is he would perform all kinds of Vedic rituals. Although he was a king, he would personally perform all kinds of Vedic rituals. He was highly intelligent, expert in studying Vedas. He maintained the relationship and religious principles and possessed all kinds of opulence. He was leader among the gentlemen and servant of the devotees. The king actually used to serve the devotees. Although he was a king, he used to serve the devotees. This is one of the great quality of a Vaishnava. He was totally qualified, and King Gaya was glorious because he was said he was the plenary expansion of Lord Vishnu. King Gaya was the plenary expansion of Lord Vishnu. And that is why he was called as Mahapurusha. As he gave all the facilities to the people of his city. And also as a devotee, he was always ready to give respect to other devotees and engage in their services. And he was always engaged in the devotional service. And he was free from bodily conception of life. He was serving as a king just as an orders of Lord Vishnu. He felt himself to be the representative of Lord Vishnu. He was full in Brahman realization. He was always jubilant. He did not experience any material lamentation as a king. The king's responsibility is a very big responsibility. The king, you know, we see today, the kings are those people who are managing big factories or a state. They are full of anxiety. They are full of lamentation because they have not taken the shelter of Lord Vishnu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Sikshastakam says, Shunyaitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahe Nama. So whatever all the kings and the great industrialists earn the wealth, but if there is no Krishna in their life, everything is zero. So Srila Prabhupada used to say, even in our life, if there is no Krishna, whatever we earn, it's all adding zeros, one after the another. But if we bring one in front of this zero, then the whole zero and one will have certain value. So similarly, when we bring Krishna in our life, whole our life will have some, our life becomes valuable. Similarly, there were glorious kings like Ambarish Maharaj, who was also a great king, and he was always in the devotional service of Lord Krishna. So in Bhagavatam there is a very beautiful verse, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vinduya Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnani. So all his body, his mind, his hands, his legs, he engaged in the devotional service. King Ambarish Maharaj was having many wives. And one day, one girl wrote a letter to Ambarish Maharaj, said, "My dear king, I want to marry you." But Ambarish Maharaj was not interested. He said, I'm having already many wives, so I cannot marry you." But this girl was dissatisfied, and she wrote another letter, "My dear king, I wanted to marry you not because you as a king, not because you are having all that wealth. I just wanted to marry you because you are a devotee of Lord Vishnu." So, and then Ambarish Maharaj reconsidered this. "Oh, she is a devotee. Okay, she said, "Okay, all right." And then he proposed her, and then he married her. And she was a great devotee. And she always was engaged, although she married Ambarish Maharaj just for the association, she was always engaged in the devotional service. And she requested king, "My dear king, please build a beautiful temple for me, for Lord Krishna, so that I will be always engaged." So Ambarish Maharaj built a beautiful temple for this wife, and she was always engaged in the service. And because of her devotion, Ambarish Maharaj frequently visited her. And when he started going frequently to this new wife, all other wives were very unhappy. And they said, "What is this? King is, Ambarish Maharaj is not coming to us." And actually they went to see what is happening. And you know, both king and this new wife were serving Lord day and night. And then they also requested Ambarish Maharaj, "Please build a temple of Vishnu for us also. And this is how Lord the King Ambarish built many temples. And actually, Srila Loknath Swami Maharaj has written a beautiful book. In that book, he said Ambarish Maharaj actually was a king of, there is a place in Maharashtra called Barsi. Actually, this is Barsi is a place of Ambarish Maharaj. And even today, if you go there is a very beautiful temple of Lord Vishnu. It's called as Bhagavan Temple. And very beautiful deity. And this temple was actually built by Ambarish Maharaj. And this deity is very beautiful. You know, Saligram Sila, Lord Vishnu deity is there. On the back side, on the same stone, there's a goddess Lakshmi. And behind that, there is a mirror kept. So you can take darshan of goddess Lakshmi in that mirror. So very beautiful temple is there. So this is how the great kings became glorious by taking the shelter of Lord Vishnu. Now, Prithu Maharaj and King Gaya. Prithu Maharaj in Bhagavatam was referred as Mahatma. Whereas King Gaya is referred as the Mahapurusha. So when you compare these two kings, both were the incarnation of the Lord Vishnu. Prithu Maharaj is a Shaktyavatara. This is the incarnation of administrative force. But King Gaya is Amshavatara. And when Prithu Maharaj took the kingdom, at that time there was no opulence. And he was to fight with the Mother Earth. And he to extract the opulence from the Mother Earth. But whereas in the case of Gaya King, the Mother Earth was so pleased by his good qualities that, you know, just as a cow gives an opulence milk to her calf, similarly Mother Earth gave all that opulence without asking to King Gaya because of his qualities. That is what is explained in the further verse. So the King Gaya was having a great qualities, and he was referred as Mahapurusha. So to conclude, even today, if any king wants to become any king or any industrialist, any person in the life wants to become glorious, and he can become glorious just by taking the shelter of Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu. So in Bhagavatam it is said, Samashrita Epada Pallava Plavam Mahatpada Punya Yashomurare Bhavambudir Vatsa Padamparam Padam Padam Yat Vipadam Natesham. So those who take the shelter of Lord Krishna, this material ocean will become like a small place which is containing water, just like a footprint of the calf. You know, footprint of a calf. The water contained in the footprint of a hooves of a calf. So the material ocean becomes so small. So the intelligent kings, those who take the shelter of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, they become glorious. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, would like to. It is, Prabhuji is referred as the Swamsha Tattva. The Swamsha Tattva. Whereas Prithu Maharaj was actually the Shaktyavatara. So there are many incarnation of Lord Vishnu, Shaktyavatara, Amshavatara, Swamshavatara, the plenary expansion. So the Amshavatara it is as referred as here. Any other questions? Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada ji ki jai.